You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Sheriff, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Sheriff, I received an email from you. I don't know if it was directly from you. I think it might have been from a PR firm, but it had a very interesting headline. It said, Arpaio Memorandum Issued to Document FBI Political Campaign Spying Activities. And I saw that. I said, wait a second. They did that to Sheriff Joe, too? And I want to get into this in great detail in a moment, but before we do, and as I mentioned to you prior to the interview, most people know who Sheriff Joe Arpaio is, and I think that it's safe to say that most people love you for who you are and what you've done, me included. And there are other people who are on the opposite end of that spectrum, very viral, vociferous. I've been using the word evil lately, but I think that's appropriate. People who really dislike you. And why they dislike you, I don't know. But these people, it seems like they're poison. I don't know how people like you and President Trump withstand these withering attacks from these people, and I'll use that term lightly. There are so many people out there, Sheriff, who, like I told you just a few minutes ago, people I talked to saying I would be interviewing Sheriff Joe Arpaio, please give him my best regards, tell him we love him. These are people from across the country in different states and different ages, different experiences. You certainly have made a mark on most people, and they have so much respect for you, the positions you've taken. But again, before we get into this particular matter, Sheriff, however much or however little you want to get into it, just give the listeners a little background about, you know, like where you were born and some of the major things that you've done in your life. And it's so much, I know. However you want to cover it, that would be great.
Well, first of all, I don't have a public relations firm. 24 years as the sheriff, which is the longest serving sheriff in the history of Maricopa County, which I'm pretty proud of because I've been able to survive 24 years. Sometimes I wonder how I did it. And, of course, they call me a publicity hound, which means that I do deal with the media. Most of them call me, and I respond. I don't run a CIA operation. Media can go into the jails, my tent city. I don't care. They can do whatever they want. So I've been rather open to the media. It's a love-hate relationship. But, you know, I go back in my life many years ago, and I just heard the audience play a little game. They can pull out their telephone or computers. And when I say I was born, Flag Day, June 14, same day as President Trump, not the same year, 1932, so you can figure out that I'm a senior citizen. But I was born in Springfield, Massachusetts. Mother gave her life for me, refused an abortion, so she died in childbirth. My mother and father came from Italy, legally. And I worked in the grocery store. I played all the sports in high school. I joined the Army when the Korean War broke out, and I turned 18, graduated from high school, all within 1 month. Did my 3 years and came home. Always wanted to be a cop. Was a Metropolitan Police officer for almost 4 years. Walked a tough black beat at 14th Street. And then I went to Vegas for a short time as a police officer, locked up. I guess I did lock up Elvis Presley since I took him to the police station, but I did let him go. Then I became my other big career. It was DEA, Federal Drug Enforcement Administration. In 1957, got sworn in Chicago, made a lot of investigations, a lot of arrests. So they sent me to Turkey, the only agent in that area to stop the French Connection and all the drugs. Then went to San Antonio. I held a lot of top positions, especially regional director in Mexico, South America, Central America, Turkey, the Middle East, and also Texas, Arizona, fighting the drug problem as a top guy. So when you add up my 57 years in law enforcement, you have to say I have 35 years as a high official or a top official with the DEA in Mexico on that side of the border where I lived and also on this side. So I always look at not realizing how long I've been connected to that U.S.-Mexican border. So then I retired in 82 as head of the DEA in Arizona, joined my wife in business, travel business, and then I decided to run for sheriff in 1992. And I guess the rest is history. For 24 years, I've been reelected 6 times. I lost the election in 2016. I just could not fight the battles of the contempt of court, where the courts went after me. And that's a contempt of court. I'm not even guilty of that. I do know that President Trump pardoned me on that charge, which nobody even knows what it means. Now I find out it's not even a crime. But anyway, that was a little aggravation. I didn't survive it, because if you may recall that Obama's prosecutors in the contempt of court trial said they're going to charge me for contempt of court and want me to do 6 months in prison. And they were saying that when the people were voting. And then I had Soros come after me with that law firm Perkins Coie, pumped in $3 million in a general election. And I'm still wondering, a lot of people are wondering how I lost to a liberal police sergeant, but that's another situation. So I did get defeated, but that's okay. I'm doing a lot of things. I was with President Trump from day one when I introduced him in July, his first rally here in Phoenix, probably the only one that would stand next to him. Introduced him, made a few predictions, said he will be our next president. I guess I was right. So I have a lot of respect for our president. I do know that NBC asked me last year if John McCain is my hero. I paused and I said no. It took me 75 years, actually, yeah, 75, because I could say 85, but when you're young, you don't know how to spell the name hero. So it took me 85 years, because I woke up one morning about 4 months prior to my declaration and said I finally found a hero after all my years in life everywhere in the world, and that was President Trump. So I'm proud of that. I don't back down. I'm not a flip-flopper that will say they're now President Trump's ally because he's good in the polls, at least on the Republican side. I've been with him from day one. I'll be with him to the end. And I don't care if people like it or not. So I am sort of joined with him. One interesting thing, I was an honorary chairman for Bush, for Mitt Romney, for Rick Perry. But the person I really have the respect for, not saying I don't for those guys, but they forget your name when you're gone, is the current president. So I've been involved in politics, trying to help, and also, of course, as a law enforcement guy for this county, which is the third largest in the United States, and we have the fourth largest sheriff's office. So I'm not going to make excuses and everything for my respect for the president. So I'm still involved in politics. I'm still taking heat all over the nation, still taking heat on the pardon, on this latest thing going on about contempt of court and other things that I do to this day. So I'm willing to take the heat. And one thing about the president, when I mentioned purposely about how I supported and campaign for those other presidents, when you do run for office, the campaign people will say, well, don't say this, say that. We don't want you to say something that will be against our candidate. Not once in all the introductions I have given President Trump did anybody, including him, ever say, hey, don't say this, that's going to hurt, and so on. So I had a tough road, because when you introduce somebody, I don't know what he's going to say. And I had to be on my gut to tell me what to say, not to hurt his campaign. But I'll tell you, 95% of what I say is the same thing that he agrees with. Not that we're making deals or anything when we start talking, but the point is, he and I travel the same road. We have the same ideas. Actually, people call me Little Trump or something else, if they're not calling me more vicious names. So that's my background. I'm 86 years old. I work 14 hours a day. And I did meet with the president 2 or 3 months ago in private, but I don't say what happened. I'm not the type of guy that comes out and publicizes that I met with the president and also talk about what we talked about. So I'm a big supporter of the president, and that's my main objection this campaign year, to make sure he gets reelected.
Thank you very much, Sheriff, for explaining all that. And did you say your mom passed on while giving birth to you?
Yeah, so I bounce around from one Italian family to another. I'm in the process of writing my third book, if I ever get it done. What's really tough, and throughout my life, especially my law enforcement career, nobody knows my background. I could never, never get it out. They only know me as the sheriff. But I have a lot of interesting situations when I fought the drug traffic around the world. So that's been very tough when you're running for office and you can't get out your life, your record. And I take a lot of negative hits every day. Call me a racist. I'm suing the New York Times on certain situations, but I am also suing Cuomo, CNN, Huffington Post, The Rolling Stone for calling me a convicted criminal and also going to prison. So you're going to have a little problem with me.
I would prefer if it was a big problem, Sheriff, not a little problem.
Well, maybe they can pay the big bucks.
I'm
not
I hope so.
Money.
I hope so,
doing
Sheriff.
It to get the word. Those are the same people going after President Trump.
That's right. They really need to be reined in and put in their place because they're out of control. And what they did to you, and that's another thing that really, when you mentioned it, it brought back memories of how they said that about putting you in prison during your campaign on purpose, of course. We've seen over the past 2 years what they've done to you and President Trump. And as the next day dawns, you think, well, it can't get any worse. They're not going to lower themselves to act worse than they are. But they did. We really saw something. I was born in 1960, Sheriff. My mom was born the same month and year that you were, in June of 1932. And I've never seen it like this, ever. I could never have imagined that. I know you haven't seen it like this. But when they did that to you, that really angered me. And I know it angered a lot of people because you've given your life in service to the country. And then you've got these lowlives who are pouncing on top of you with no respect. Do you think, Sheriff, that we're past the point that the country can return to the way that it was in the sense of a country that stuck together because it was America, Pledge of Allegiance? Do you think that's gone? Do you think that America's finished?
I mean, the only salvation here, I'm saying this because, as I mentioned, I've dealt with presidents. I've had a lot of jobs that just by coincidence hooked me into certain situations like Watergate, and I can go on and on. But if we don't get the current president reelected, we're going to be in deep trouble. We're a little trouble now, but just think, if the Democrats come back in with all their stupid policies, you wouldn't mind if you got a really good guy, a patriot and that type of person to run on the Democratic side. But we don't have that. We don't have that now. And if they win the election, this country is going to be in poor shape. And who knows better than I, when I just gave you my age, you have to know what I lived through for 58 years in law enforcement. So I have a history. I have a record. And by the way, I have some books. So I can tie anything that's controversial going on now to how it affected me and the information I may have. That's why the Democrats fear me. When they said I lost the election because of how I fought illegal immigration, that's not why I lost the election. The real reason that everybody tells me to shut up, all these campaign guys, oh, don't mention it. I'm going to mention it. I went after Obama on his birth certificate. And being in law enforcement all those years, I'm not stupid. When I agreed to launch this investigation because the Tea Party came to me 2011 and said, you're an elected sheriff, you're the only one who will touch it. And it took me about a half hour to think about it, investigating the president, especially on the birth certificate. It's going to draw me a lot of heat and so on. So yeah, they went after me because of the birth certificate, George Soros. They're worried about what I have. And as I mentioned, I know what probable cause is. So when you investigate a fake document, government document, you would think that somebody would look into it, especially with my credibility, and they won't touch it. Nobody in the universe will even look at my investigation, which I have tons of information. So you figure that one out. And I'm talking about anybody looking into it. So that makes me a little aggravated. All I said when I launched my investigation with one of my posse people, so nobody could blame me for using taxpayers' money, although I had the authority to do it, nobody will talk about it. Nobody will look at it. And I'm a law enforcement guy, and I get probable cause on a fake government document, and all they do is blast me that I'm crazy and all that. So that makes me a little frustrated. I'm not giving up on that. Maybe somebody will look at it and see what we have. But I'm convinced 100%, and I have the evidence through forensic people that I had to go to Italy to find, plus all our investigation. That's one reason I don't get on TV. Do you notice that Fox, in a whole year, blocked me out? I've been on Fox for 24 years. Why don't they call me anymore? They put all these other guys that talk about the border. I have more experience than all of them put together on fighting the drug traffic and immigration. Why don't they call this guy?
Why don't they, Sheriff?
Well, you might ask them. I think they're afraid that I might talk about the birth certificate. I know everybody there, but they blacked me out. I don't care. I got my Facebook with a million followers and all that. I go through social. I go through people like you, your paper that has the guts to speak out. So I have other means to get my story across. I average 6-7 times a day around the nation. Most of it's negative, but I don't care. They want to make me irrelevant. The main media does not want to talk to me. The local media here want to make it look I don't exist anymore. But I got news for them. I'm still getting my word out, and I still have great popularity. I'm wondering why more people come up to me now than ever before, say they support me. Can't figure that one out yet. Maybe I will. I get a little agitated what's going on. And I'm not the only guy, but I'm a very high-profile guy. So someone has to answer the question, why doesn't any law enforcement agency, it really should be federal, look into what we have on a person that has a fake government document? And that happens to be a birth certificate. When I launched this, I went public and I said, I don't care where Obama was born. I don't care about anything regarding that. I'm going after a person that has a fake birth certificate. That's it. And if it was you, you'd be in jail tomorrow. So is that fair? If they won't look at his phony allegation, let's put it like that, if they won't look at his, they shouldn't look at anybody that has information about a fake government document. Even what's going on at the White House, I think they go after a guy for not putting a right mark on the application and all that. So that's a question that I will never forget. I'll go to my grave and always wonder why nobody will look at what we have. I don't care if they're media. Come on down. Look at all my boxes. Look at all the evidence.
And I mentioned to you, Sheriff, I did an extensive, I think I did a few of them with Mike Zullo about that. And he talked about that, how he went to Capitol Hill with all the evidence and no one would touch it. I think the only person who showed any interest was Representative West.
You mean Colonel West?
Yes. He's not there anymore.
I know. I've been through this. Every time I run for office, don't mention the birth certificate. All these political experts on running campaigns. Don't mention the birth certificate. Well, I got news for him. I just talked to 3 Republican groups around the country. They all love the fight against the birth certificate. But politically, you're not supposed to talk about it. Why not? Is Obama someone special? I'm not saying that he did it, but I'll tell you one thing. I got some information about certain law firms that were involved in that. So I can't get my message out right now, but one day will come, guarantee you. So I'm convinced that I was not George Soros and Perkins Coie, remember that name, that law firm that went down and involved in the Steele report, and they're also appealing my pardon, and they may have something to do with the birth certificate too. That will be another day. So think of that. And they get away with it all the time.
I have, you know, and before I interviewed Mike, and it took me hours and hours and hours to do the research before I can interview him on his research that he did for you. I read the book, The Manchurian President, of course, a play on the Manchurian Candidate. And that book, 2 authors, I interviewed one of the co-authors, had almost 1,000 footnotes. So it's very clear that this person who was the president for 2 terms came out of nowhere, has no birth certificate. Like Mike said, it was a digital forgery. And he somehow is protected still. Don't know why. I think the main reason is given is that, well, people are afraid that if they do look at your birth certificate research, that then what happens is we literally will have to undo all of this legislation that took place over the time that he was in positions of power, if it's finally admitted that this guy is not a legitimate United States citizen. Have you heard that before, Sheriff?
Yeah, I heard all the stories. Our investigation, Mike and I have been working it for, since 2011. Very simple, just before I left office, we got a lucky hit, and we found a birth certificate same time that Obama was born, and it was very simple. They took 10 or little parts of that birth certificate and transplanted on this phony one. We went out to Italy to get forensic experts to show that transfer. In Hawaii, I mean, isn't that probable cause? Of course, we have so much more. But if that's not probable cause, what is? So why isn't the federal government? I can go into post office where he got his paper where you have to register for the drafts and all that stuff. But I'm just concerned why the FBI hasn't knocked on my door and said, hey, you got all this information. What's a federal offense? The irony of all this, if I'm ever still living 10 years from now, which I probably won't, is the fact I'm the guy with the reputation of being the top guy fighting illegal immigration. We arson more than anybody. Now, the irony would be that if the president was here illegally, we're talking about immigration. That's an immigration issue, right? So that would be the irony that I start an investigation on his birth certificate, and I may be trying to solve an illegal immigration problem, too. That's not why I did it. It's just when you think about it. So the point is, I never talked about him being here illegally or from somewhere else. I said I'm investigating a fake government official Hawaiian document, period. And I can't get anywhere with this. If it wasn't him, I'm sure somebody would come to me and investigate it. So I get a little frustrated, put a lot of time on this, Mike and I. And I remember the president in 2011 said it's a fake birth certificate. Just by coincidence, here we go again. He and I follow the same highway. There was no connection when I started in 2011 when he mentioned that. But you know what? He was right, too, way back in 2011.
Like you said, if it was us, we'd be behind bars. But you mentioned the FBI. Why isn't the FBI knocking on your door? Hey, thanks for doing the investigation. Can we take a look at it? You did it all. Let's see what we got here. But what we've been finding out as a country about the FBI lately is not good, Sheriff Joe. And this email that I got here, it's very disturbing. Tell listeners, please, if you could, about the FBI spying on you and your campaign.
I prepared this. Actually, I had this information last year, and nobody printed it, your great media outlets. And now I see what's happening here in Washington. And so many things happen now that I have information with, because I've been around a long time. So this happened years ago. When you talk about the FBI today infiltrating the president and or his campaign, and I'm saying, wait a minute, I remember when that happened to me. Now, I'm a little concerned. I'm a former federal guy and a little disappointed in maybe what's going on in Washington with the FBI. They got a good reputation, although I don't know in law enforcement how good it is. But I work with the FBI in my career and the CIA overseas and so on. But now when I'm running for office, when the federal government is investigating me, which they do quite often, but nothing ever happens. It's funny, if I was really a crook, how come I've never been charged except for this latest little contempt of court? But it's all politics, so the FBI usually does the investigations with the federal prosecutors. My people have always been cleared of all this, but around that time, there was investigations going on by the FBI against me and my office, and I'm running for office again. So I get information that two or three FBI agents found out that I was going to be mentioned in a candidates' forum at a police union hall. And I presume that my opponent got out and said, we got some information that's not good, damaging about the sheriff. So then we find out two FBI agents go in there posing as journalists, of course, to get information about me. Now, that's a no-no. First of all, you shouldn't be posing as reporters, and you shouldn't be going into these forums to gather information on someone that's involved in politics. That's a big no-no, and that's being talked about right now in Washington. So this is something I wanted to bring out that happened to me. I mean, there's a lot of other things that happened to me, but this triggers me in trying to report this. Now, let me say this. Once again, your fake news, and even other that are not fake, but they control the agenda, you're the only one that called me on this. You're the only one. And I sent this to 300 news outlets. In fact, I sent something like this out last year. So why is it? Why is it? If this is not a story, it's a story going on today, that they don't call me and say, hey, what's the story here? That's okay. I don't care. But I did my due diligence. I reported it. And by the way, I sent a 26-page report the former Attorney General of the United States, asking for an investigation over this contempt of court and everything revolving around it. So I want an investigation, including the district courts, because there's some very, very interesting things that may be a sidebar. So I heard back that finally when Sessions left, they sent it to their office of Inspector General or something. So I'm not a type of guy that goes around making allegations, and I don't like going negative against people, especially candidates. I've never asked for endorsements in all my elections. These, I always believe, you go to the people, they're your endorsements. Yet everybody wants my endorsement. Every time there's a presidential campaign, they all call me, governors and all that. In fact, I'm still getting calls for my endorsement with all the crap that's gone against me, because the people really understand. So that's why I put something out, because it does pertain to exactly what's going on in Washington today. And being an ex-federal guy, I'm a little disappointed that this type of situation is occurring. So I have a lot more sensitive information. I'm not ready to talk about it. And I think that may scare some people, which I don't care. I've had a lot of threats from cartels and all that. Doesn't bother me. So that's my point on this situation. That's very current. And anytime they want to talk to me about it, okay. And by the way, I've been around a long time. I don't go around making allegations unless I can back it up. Unless I can back it up, even with this situation. I have the evidence that it happened. Let's talk about the birth certificate. Same thing. I have evidence that it happened. So there's a lot of control out of Washington, the swamp, on both sides. On both sides. And that's sad.
Yeah.
When you get involved in law enforcement and they're involved in some of this activity, that's not right. So I'm hoping that President Trump, knowing him, he's a fighter. He's not going to take this continuing. Now they got the, what they call, Natalie had a guy from New York. With 24 Democrats that want my pardon erased. Okay, good luck. They're going after me, but you know who they're really going after. It's the president.
Of course. The people love you. They love President Trump. And I really believe that if it gets to the point where these groups actually try to remove him from office, I really believe that people will hit the road and head toward D.C. and let them know in no uncertain terms, you do not touch that man. He's our president. He's our duly elected, legitimately elected president. He's doing the job of the people, just like you have done your whole life, doing the job of the people, not for yourself. And people know that. They can sense that. And that's why you and him make people feel a certain way. They love you guys. Americans are smart people. They have that horse sense. They know who's good and who's not good.
I got so many stories, believe me, to tell in my lifetime, and I hope to do that in my third book. I got to get the truth out.
Yes.
I can't get the story out. It's very difficult, especially these days. It's so negative calling me a racist. Even that judge that hated me, according to his wife and the law firm he was connected with, not him, his brother-in-law, same law firm that Holder came from, that went after me 60 days after. So here I am in my waning years sitting in a criminal defense table, and I only got 2 parking tickets in my life. Maybe I got more, but I didn't know it. So 2 or 3 parking tickets. I'm sitting for 6 days on a stacked deck on a contempt of court where the judge, they wouldn't even give me a jury trial, charged me with the wrong charge, and going on when I'm running for office over a contempt charge because I was doing my job and I had the authority to do it under the feds because I had 100 of my deputies sworn in, trained for 6 months as immigration officers. And they go after me because I was very active. When I do something in my life, maybe I do it one step more than normal, but it's not illegal. So they got me. They got me. That's okay. I'm proud of what I said, and I'm proud of what Vice President Pence and the President said several times about me. So I'm very proud of that.
Should be, Sheriff, proud of that. And like I said, I'm sure that there are millions of people who love you across this country and would be ready to support and defend you if it came down to that.
Well, you know, another thing about the border, I'm not criticizing the president on his elections. I feel sorry for him, and I think he'll admit it too. There's a lot of garbage out there. And a lot of people that say they like them because they're making money. But where is their heart? There's a difference being a bureaucrat. Another difference is, does it come from your heart? My support of him comes from my heart. It has nothing to do with a big position or something like that. I don't do anything to get a job. Now, if he ever calls me, I would probably have to help him out because I love the guy. And if he needs me, I'll have to do it. But there would never be any other president at this time. If there was somebody else that called, never happened. I'm not going to Washington. But that's the thing I'm in right now, so I don't know. As I said, I love the guy. I never knew him until the day in July that I introduced him. And my gut, something told me about him. That's why I said then that he will be our next president. I said then that there's a silent majority. That's why he's going to be elected. And I said then we're born on the same day. And he pardoned me by coincidence on my wife's birthday. As I say, we seem to interlink on just about everything. I can't believe this. And I don't talk to him all the time. I don't bother him.
Just the fact that he pardoned you, I mean, how many, I don't know the statistics, but how many people have been pardoned by presidents? I can't imagine that many.
Yeah, but mine's different. I think I'm the only second guy in history. He pardoned me before I even went to court to be sentenced. There's a difference. But you know what? He did the right thing. I didn't ask for it, but he did the right thing. He did the right professional thing. It had nothing to do with politics, but he finally, I think, found out. And one thing that's very confusing, they don't talk to him. He doesn't know everything going on. He's got that bureaucracy under him, and he's sort of his own guy. And I'm sure he likes to make his own decisions, but how do you make decisions when your staff doesn't report certain things to you? So I love his Twitter. Hope he Twitters forever. It gets the word out his way. And he's not afraid to speak out, so he's maybe different, but boy, he's the one we need today, and boy, we better get him reelected next year. We're going to be in deep trouble.
Absolutely.
If he's not reelected. I'll tell you, I know politics. When he gets reelected, I guarantee you, he'll be a little different. He'll be tougher when he's reelected. Now he's got to worry about McConnell and all this. And he's still doing what he feels is right, even though it may not be politically correct. So he'll have another, 5.5 years to straighten this country out. So everything he does, whether on the national anthem, the same day the football guy kneeled, I had all my veterans in the jail locked up. I put them all in the tents, and they all, when the national anthem, stood up, put the hand at the heart. Same day that this Kanapik or whatever his name is. And once again, the president's right. You should fire anybody, all these ball players with millions of dollars. Shaq O'Neal, the ball player, I was in St. Louis, and nobody would print this story when I was giving a talk at the Republican Party. I had demonstrators out there, which I love. I love the demonstrators to go after me. So I said, a former senator called me a racist. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to prove something. So I brought up Shaq O'Neal. When I had him in the tents, he wasn't staying there. I made him an honorary deputy sheriff and colonel. But when he went out and used the N-word against Kobe Bryant, the whole world heard it. I took his badge back and I said, if my deputy did this, they'd be fired. And then I'm in St. Louis and they fired the pizza company. I forgot, it was a Papa John's or something. They fired the CEO because he used the N-word on a telephone conversation. 2 days later, they made Shaq took his place. I'm not after Shaq for that, but I'm talking about the double standard that exists. And I'm not going to talk about my grandkids, what race or ethnic background they are. I don't do that. I keep it quiet. So call me a racist, everybody, in the media, every day. Racist, racist. Even the judge who went after me never said I racial profiled, said that I used race as a criteria, which when I signed a contract with ICE, the director, that was one of their criteria that you could use race. So they got me on that, on the contempt of court that I didn't obey the judge. But that's all right. I don't want to keep talking to you. I just have to write a book or something.
You better write that book, Sheriff. You better write it because we need to hear what you have to say and we need to hear about your experiences. It's very important that you do that and it's very important that you do get the chance to speak without being interrupted and without the reporter or the interviewer injecting their agenda, which is not right. That's why I wanted the listeners to hear what you had to say. I know there probably are not too many times that you can elaborate like this without being interrupted, and I didn't want to interrupt you. So I do very much appreciate all the time. As we mentioned before the interview, you get the newspaper, you get American Free Press, right?
Yeah, I love your paper. You guys took some heat on me, or I took the heat.
Yeah.
They're ridiculous. Remember they said, I've been interviewed 4 or 5 times by you guys, and I'm hooked up with you guys because of anti-Semitic and all that. You know what I said to all the regular media? When I deal with the media, I don't review every story that they write, and I still talk to your paper. I don't care. So they go after you guys, too. You know that.
Of course, and we don't care as well. It means nothing. It's actually a compliment that they come after us. Sheriff, as I said to millions of people across this country, including myself, you are a great man, a great American, an American hero, and I appreciate everything you've done in the service of the country, and I really appreciate the time you took out today, sir. Explaining all this to the listeners.
It's my honor. If you say negative things about me, I don't care. I don't expect media to say they all love me, but be fair about it. And when you have a good story, write it and quit twisting it around. Quit twisting the fact that we're going to make him irrelevant. I'm irrelevant, but they sure don't mind blasphemy all the time. But they don't want to report my story, so I use my Facebook and my Twitter. And I have a lot of the George Lopez guy that really blistered me in his HBO show. So I went after him because he was here yesterday. He's going to be in Tucson. He's blasting me. So I use my Facebook and get the story out immediately because the media will never pick up on something unless it's negative.
No, not at all. You just keep being who you are, okay. Sheriff. I know you will.
All right.
We'd love to have you back anytime you'd like.
Sure.
Like I said, Sheriff, I appreciate everything you've done for this country, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again real soon.
Say hello to Mark.
I will. Thanks very much, Sheriff.
Thank you.